Hit it and quit it. Just fucking hit it and quit it.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. I don't have a song.
One will come to you.
Oh, God. I am. I don't like this. I don't like it anymore.
It's a cute mug, though.
It says, see the good, and I want to smash it against a wall.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah, and I remember
it's less of a good mug.
I know, and it was like I bought it at a time where I was like, oh man, I'm navigating a really kind of uncomfortable divorce, and this cup feels like optimistic, and I feel then the quarantine happened, and then like the KKK took over the country, and this has been a really, really, really hard year for a lot of people. And this has been one of the hardest years I've ever navigated, and this mug feels insufficient. And like, everybody's freaking out about going back to school and their kids falling behind. Falling behind what? What are they falling? Yeah. What is everybody falling behind in? The ability to make a bunch of fucking money. I'm so angry at capitalism, and yet I'm just so, you know, is Joe Biden the Trojan horse so that we can come in and like,
no, I mean, I don't know.
Is Guilfoyle a real person?
I don't know. I don't know anything. And I'm increasingly suspicious of anyone who claims to know things.
I really keep feeling like maybe we're in the Matrix and the game is just getting so ridiculous until one of us has the courage to like hit an invisible button that says, yeah, I know this is fake. Okay, I can see a glitch in the system. There it is. That's not real. This is bad writing. This is bad writing. But somebody sent me a box of really cool donation, you know, hand-me-down clothes for Frankie, and they're amazing, and I'm so grateful. This is a side note. That's a little bit of sunshine in my day. And I was teaching a class the other day, at a hospital, and my schedule got messed up and Frankie was with me, but she was like doing tree pose with us. And I feel like I'm totally failing. And I know I'm not, and I know other people feel this way too, but I just feel like I'm failing as a parent and as a teacher and as a professional and as a friend. And I know I'm not alone. I know everybody feels like they're not doing it's today. It feels really hard and heavy. And I'm fighting to get, you know, some medicine that I need because I got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that is challenging and explains a lot about some of the pain I've been in for a while. It's a spondylitic arthritis and it affects your spine and your joints and your energy and your brain. So I've been a lot less quick intellectually and I've been in a lot of pain. And it's been really hard to get the medicine, and I am lucky. And there are people that like don't have the resources I have. You know, who have a hard time getting their meds. And to do all of this at this particular moment in time is really hard. And I just feel like a total imposter when I try to teach. And my practice looks so different. And I'm angry at my practice. Like, but, you know, one of the things that's cool about my practice is my doctor was like, usually this gets diagnosed a lot younger, but because you've been practicing yoga so long, you know, like, it kind of pushed it off a few years for you. She's like, I think. Anyways, overshare of the century on, you know, and then I go back and forth from feeling like sharing is important and like talking about, you know, our personal stuff matters, because if there's somebody that hears it, you know, and they relate, that's valuable. And then there's also part of me that's like, it takes so much energy to like feel vulnerable, like I overshared if I talk about these things. And like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you share your stuff, like that sort of hangover from sharing.
Yeah, and there's also sometimes this concern that because of, for me anyway, that because of capitalism, that like actually sharing about your shit can be then like vulnerability becomes like another marketing tool that I like, it's just hard to know what actual like sharing, especially when it's like sharing about your struggles and your, the ways in which we're all suffering, like when that happens on any corner of the internet, how much of it is some like feeds into that whole rat race of we have to be branding ourselves all the time. And I don't know.
I think it's just because there's been so much silence and so much shame from so many different things for so long that, like, even if there is a benefit of, you know, people seeking you out because of that quote unquote vulnerability, it's interesting. It's a really interesting thought, like, because, you know, the things that have caused me suffering historically in my life have also helped me, you know, get hired some places, you know, arguably. But I would also say that, like, okay, it may, and that's good. And that's okay. Like, because previously it just meant that I couldn't work. you know, like you would have to hide those things. Like, you know, and I think I just am really suspicious of anything where I'm like, oh, I can't talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Like, what are we like clutching our pearls about sharing? I don't know. I just think about how many people are living with like, oh, I don't want to be public because of something that can feel like a Like, it's not my fault, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not my fucking fault that I have this, you know, that I have a disease. Like, it's not my fault. And, you know, to talk about it openly is hard. And, but I've gone down the rabbit hole already, like on Instagram, of all the people that are like, that have it and I identify with it and like have podcasts and courses you can buy to like, but like, there's part of me that's really grateful that they exist and they do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe I will buy their courses and maybe that will bring me comfort.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. Like, everybody's just trying to fucking make it work.
I know. And like, I can at one time appreciate that we're all just trying to like, all trying to scramble to make it work. And at the same time, I always come back to, well, it really wouldn't be that hard for it to be 50% less of a scramble.
Say more.
I mean, I just think of like, I mean, from a political point of view, like, if health insurance wasn't taken out of my paycheck, if we all got somewhere between $600 to $1,000 a month, like, it's not like I wouldn't still want to get out there and work and do things. I just would, like, the scramble wouldn't, the like, constant need to brand and, like, you could just sort of be like, no, this is how much I can do. And, like, would it get rid of all of the problems? Would it end capitalism? No. Like, that drive is going to be here. Like, I don't think you can deprogram all of us that have been living in capitalism for multiple decades. But, like, maybe it's just a little bit less of a rat race. I don't actually think that is that difficult to accomplish. I mean, it's difficult, it's complicated, but it's not like these ideas haven't been around for centuries. like, socialized medicine didn't just appear 2 years ago. Like, it's been a conversation for quite some time.
It's been a thing.
It's been a thing for quite a while. I also think there's something that I've noticed myself doing, like, there's the real, like, relative immediate, like, 2020 is fucked suffering, and then there's the, like, existential suffering that is feels like elevated by 2020. And sometimes I like find myself just like looking for something to be like, if only like this thing would happen, then like everything would be fine again. And it's just like, no, that's not actually true. There is we're the layers of fucked are quite deep, and the it just feels like it's kind of coming to a head, and I've noticed myself and other folks around me sort of go down the rabbit hole of like narrowing their focus to like this one like administrative thing is the reason why everything is wrong with society. And it's just like, okay, like maybe you're right that should be changed, but also like that's the thing you're gonna
that's the hill you're gonna die on.
Which is, I don't know, it's just been like an interesting, and again, and I've done that too. I completely am guilty of that. But when you see it from the outside, you're like, oh, that's interesting.
Ryan.
Yes.
I think I hate yoga.
I mean, how is that any different from a normal Friday? Tell me, Kate. Tell me.
I think I am.
Tell me in a song.
I think I, you know, I'm just going to be a broken record. I think everybody's full of shit. I know I can't make this into a song. I got nothing in the tank for singing. Oh!
I don't know. I'm going to feel pretty good about myself if I get you into song mode by the end of this conversation.
I feel really weird that I shared what I shared. Maybe we edit it out.
Because we do that so much. But okay. I can, if you need me to. Absolutely.
We'll figure it out. In case I did decide to edit that out, at some point I'll share. It's not a big fucking deal. It's not a big deal. I just feel very sensitive right now.
Yeah.
I'm teaching, and I'm finding myself feeling really different about teaching the last couple of weeks. Like, it's hard. I feel like I, once I am in front of the class, I'm fine. And at the end of class, I always feel good, mm-hmm. but I have been having this like anxiety before class starts in a new way that I never used to have.
You don't have anxiety before class? You didn't used to have anxiety before class starts?
Well, I did for years, and then I didn't. And then I all of a sudden was like, yeah, just roll in and have my class and feel okay. And then all of a sudden I've just been having like, oh, I don't know if I can do it.
See, I feel like I've always had that. That has never been something that goes away. It certainly feels more amplified at times, but I always have like minor panic before I teach.
Yeah, I mean, I'll notice a little uptick, but nothing like it went way down for a period of time, and now it's back up. Okay, can you see me? This feels right.
Yep, I can see you. Just cuddling up in bed with Kate.
Yeah.
Why do you hate yoga, though? Just bringing it back. Because everyone's full of shit. How are they full of shit?
Because I think the things teachers care about kind of break my heart.
Like
it's just so many teachers are just like, how can I either completely infantilize the student or how can I punish them, you know, through strength training? Does that make sense? Like, I just feel, I feel sad. Like, that's There's nothing, there's very little in between of like coming to yoga to feel and connect and learn more about your body and feel better in it. And we're so like focused on able-bodied people that we're so focused on like the cult of youth and the cult of thinness and whiteness, no matter how much we pretend otherwise, it's tiring, you know, to, and I know improvements are being made across the board. I see it, but
I don't actually know that I see much in the way of improvement. I mean, I see people talking about improvement, but the amount of yoga that is still basically just yoga work circa 1995 is pretty remarkable to me. And, you know, the crux of that, I would not call it a method, but the crux of that moment was the beginning of the, like, we'll take the best of Iyengar and the best of Ashtanga and make it a thing. And so much of what I experience when I go to class is still just, and like people at this point don't even know where they got it from, but it's like the Iyengars and the Ashtangis don't even teach like that anymore. Like it's just like it's like dead in the water. There's no evolution. There's no everything, which is not to say that there aren't still many things that need to be rethought in both Iyengar and Ashtanga. Let me make sure that that is not the point that people think I'm making, but there's no clarity on and let me be clear, just not to say that folks need to be like 100% clear about this, 100% able to articulate this, but there's not even the inquiry into what the fuck are we actually doing here? And grappling with the fact that what, if there are 13 people in the room plus me, there are 14 unique individuals and contexts that are operating. And to perfectly meet those 13 humans in a moment in time to meet their needs is impossible. Absolutely impossible. And so given that, it seems to me that the only thing that's possible is to have a conversation about what are you feeling? Where are you feeling it? And what is the potential meaning of the sensations that you're experiencing? And do these forms that we have actually help with that inquiry? And the truth is that they might not, but they might. I don't really know if the forms are super helpful to my well-being, other than the fact that they're it's the form of embodiment that I know well enough that now I can apply the meditative awareness and sensitivity and inquiry to these forms that I just happened to pick up along the way because it was the only form of physicality that made any sort of sense to me. But that had I fell into some other embodiment practice first, that those would be the forms that I would use.
Yes, absolutely. Modern dance or Tai Chi or again, soccer. I totally on board. That's exactly how I'm feeling. And that's why I think how my practice looks is evolving, because so many of the shapes that when I was, you know, kicking on all four cylinders of ableism and health, you know, they were accessible to me. And, you know, right now I've got some stuff and, you know, a whole class of the shapes is pretty much like, I'm not practicing with anything that puts weight on my wrists, elbows, hands right now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, what else can I do with those things? It feels good. That brings awareness and presence and ease. And it doesn't look like, it doesn't look like vinyasa.
But then that's the thing that's curious to me, is when someone has a shift like that, especially if it's one that is, like, it's one thing if it's just like, you broke your wrist and it is healing. That's a sort of like more temporary, like, healing process than something that's more underlying. I know so many teachers who just have things going on that make their practices look radically different than a vinyasa practice, and then they still walk in the door and teach a vinyasa practice.
I know.
And I just don't, I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, I'm just saying, like,
I don't for my slow flows.
Yeah.
My slow flow is like a walkthrough of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, or like an approximation, like, which means like I'll have sometimes like a singular downward dog, but then hands walk to the back. And it's like that one downward dog that I'll do.
Yeah. You
know, just because it's usually, I'll try a downward dog a day
it's
to just, be like,
it's a little test.
Can I still do it? Does this, okay. Still, yeah, there we go.
Is it still?
And like, here's what I want to just say to everybody. Health is so easily taken for granted. Ableism and living pain-free is like, you have no idea how spectacular it is until it's taken away. Like, if you're the type of person that can just like do a chaturanga right now, like, take a second and like appreciate that shit. Even if you hate chaturanga, like, don't fucking do it because you can do it, but like, I don't know. Like, it's just,
do you remember that moment? I think it was when we were both working at Back Bay, where someone, and I'm not going to name names, was teaching like, stand in Tadasana, bend your elbows, flex your wrists, and then just fall forward into That was actually the only time that I ever saw Lynn like step in and be like, no, don't do that.
From standing?
Yes. And just to prove that, like, there's never a new idea under the sun, I shared that with, like, teachers of mine who are older, and they're like, oh, yeah, we did try that when we were younger. And then we decided it was a bad idea.
From standing?
Anyways, I digress.
But yes, I just think, like, there's such arrogance. And you, I don't know.
But also, like, what is pain-free? Like, whenever I see that, I'm like,
where are you seeing that?
Well, people, like, certainly in the body work and you know, with the, I think a lot of the, like, massage ball type companies, like, I think they do kind of market around that. Like, that you can be pain-free. And I'm just like, I don't think you can live as a human being and not have an experience of pain. Now, mind you, it's relative to what your prior experiences of pain might be and what the pain might be limiting you to do, but we experience pain all the time. It's just sometimes more limiting than, like, I feel pain. I don't know that I would necessarily, I think I could be more accurate about what I'm feeling in my left forearm right now, but it is uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the word. That's the new word I'm using a lot. Because, you know, I'll get asked frequently, what's your pain on a scale of 1 to, and I'm like, I don't know how to answer that bullshit question. I feel a sensation that is novel and loud, and it does not feel comfortable. Uncomfortable is a good word.
But it's also relative, because, like, I remember being 19, 20, and in... at conservatory, and I also, even at that point, was like, I don't know how to talk to you in terms of a pain scale. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I remember describing it to one doctor as like, it feels like someone's taking a knife and running it up and down my forearm on either side at the same time. That's what it feels like. He just sort of stood at me and looked at me like, what the fuck? And so, like, the fact that I feel something in my forearm and it's mildly uncomfortable, but I did a full practice today, including going upside down. It's sort of like...
Yeah. It's like the currency exchange you're willing to make. And that is, Yeah.
Is the vitality that I gained from going upside down and, like, waking up feeling very sluggish and now feeling like moderately not a better feeling than the slight feeling of discomfort in my left forearm, which is really almost always there. It's like, I don't know. The way that we speak about pain sometimes is very confusing to me. The way we speak about sensation, actually, in general, is very confusing to me.
I had a moment where I was in, I was having a flare and I was in supported fish. I put myself in supported fish because that was helpful along my spine where I was feeling a flare of pain. And I really sat with it and wanted to find new language to describe the pain, because just calling it pain is so one note and isn't helpful for my mood or my mind to just land on one word. And anyways, through this exercise, I realized that what I was experiencing in my spine was like slow motion fireworks, like a blossoming radiation that then would dissipate and go away. And then it would come back like another pulse. And it was like I had multiple like flowers of sensation blossoming across the spine, like slow motion fireworks lighting up the sky and then going away. And, you know, and I was able to see sort of the fact that it had a tide to it, which, you know, was happening every like 17 seconds or so. But
yeah.
And like, does that mean I want to experience that? No, but it was trippy to experience it that way. To just be like, let me just put on more of like a scientist lens and less of a like, I can't handle this lens and be like, let me really look at this lens. And that is where my practice and meditation are helpful, because in some ways I'm able to be present and simultaneously disassociate and, you know, all at the same time, like just put it in perspective, like no pain is the same, you know, and it arrives differently depending on how I am. And, pain is scary because it can make me think it's forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually not.
Yeah. But I do think there is something to, and I do this with students a lot, just like a simple whiteboarding exercise of like, write down all of the words you have to describe physical sensation. And it always, like, to a T, there's like three or four words that come out, and then there's like long silence. And like, after a couple of minutes, people start coming up with other, like they start, and then it starts to come actually really fast, because they actually do have a very rich history of sensations that are nuanced and different and unique. And I find that ability to describe the sensation as more than just like either on a spectrum or just like on the simple binary of like, that's painful, that's pleasurable. Like that's not actually really, really helpful to me. Because then of course there's the crossover of pain and pleasure. There's the ability to like, I know that there are certain sensations that I can prompt in my body that will be in the moment painful, but I'm currently frictioning my right above my Achilles tendon. And it's an uncomfortable sensation that then when I let loose on it, the overall feeling is one of relief and like improved motion through my ankle. And so there are times where we, like, where it is often like what people are doing, like even in a diagnostic way, like most diagnosticians, it's like, lift your leg and tell me when there's pain. Like that's literally the like orthopedic pain tests are like what we use to diagnose certain things. And so like, there just has to be a better way to have the conversation both within ourselves and then interpersonally, because I really do, like, if I'm going to help someone, I do need to understand someone else's pain. If I'm speaking physically, of course, but also you could have this conversation in terms of psychology. Like, I need to get a sense of what is being felt more than just, ow, that hurts.
Yeah.
And then what drives me crazy in the yoga space is the like language of correction. Not necessarily, I know we disagree on this, but like, I'm still going to give individual instruction because people are individuals and like, I'd rather be specific, but the instruction that I'm giving individually is not like, straighten your leg so you look like Bikasa Iyengar. It's like, no, can you bring your awareness to this part of your body now? Can you bring your awareness to this part of your body now? Now what happens when you do this? Now what happens when you do that? But so much of the instruction, like, that I've been hearing recently, literally will just, it's not even the language of correction, they just fucking use the word. Like, correct this about yourself. And it's like, my body does not need to be corrected.
Just your attitude. Nobody's saying correct this.
Yes, 100% people are. I have been in multiple classes over the past week where where it's been that, and also, you see how your body does this? Now correct it. As if there's like that's what I meant by it. We're still stuck in 1995.
That, it to me, is just devastating. That's where I'm running out of steam, Ryan.
That?
Because,
of all of the things.
But like the fact that like it's still out there. And not only is it out there, I'm guessing it's like being taught by teachers with like fucking huge groups of people. And I, you know, just the sheer cleanup work that has to be done from that kind of thinking. And like, and this is why I think when yoga teachers don't share the reality of their lives, but teach, I don't know. I've been, for the bulk of my adult life, pretty public about a lot of my struggles because it's informed my practice and my practice has informed that. And they're so inextricably bound. And I think that when teachers like kind of keep, don't talk about, for this is just the whole like example of like the theoretical yoga teacher that is like getting something replaced and then still teaching, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, getting a shoulder replacement and like still teaching Bird of Paradise, whatever.
I don't think we can replace our shoulders.
Yeah. You know, well, I didn't want to say the specific body part for fear someone would think I was talking about
someone specifically. But also, like, I don't know, that, especially when it comes to like joint replacement, it's sometimes when people get all up in arms about that, I'm like, you know, the number of folks who get knee and hip and
it's pretty high.
It's pretty fucking high. Like, so the odds that a yoga teacher is actually pretty, pretty damn high. And I would say probably the odds that they have staved off the surgery for some time might also be pretty high. There's no way to actually know.
Yeah. But the point is, when a yoga teacher no longer incorporates certain things in their practice, but still, this is complicated.
It's complicated.
It teaches them, because those things could be valuable, and just because you can't do it doesn't mean they're not valuable. Like, I teach, right now I'm not doing plank. That doesn't mean plank isn't valuable. But what I do is I just offer a bunch of things that are similar in action.
Yeah. Well, I think it's different when you talk about something that is, like, I think so much of this conversation gets tricky because so much of what's taught in yoga classes is so compound in terms of action and range of motion, that like someone might sort of gasp at not being able to quote unquote correct somebody because of quote unquote safety. And like, yeah, if you're teaching, let's put our leg behind our head, there may very well be some things that you need to be somewhat insistent about. For me, it's please don't put your leg behind your head. But, you know, if that's really an important thing for you to teach, I can't really argue with that. Unless you want to argue, and then I can. But when it comes to like things that are pretty simple and understandable in terms of range, in terms of joint action and muscular action, like you do get into situations where you can say like, well, I'm not doing plank right now because of X, but here are the things that I'm doing that emphasize similar actions, similar concepts, instead of doing plank, which for this reason I can't do. Like, that's actually a real helpful learning moment, and one that's more possible the simpler the form is, I think. Does that make sense?
Yes. how's teaching in person going?
It's all right. I taught in person, not online. So for those of you who are listening, most of my in-person teaching thus far has been a hybrid where like there is one or two people in the room and then there's a screen with 10 to 15 people on it in this studio that I am also teaching to, which is verdict still out. Right now it feels really hard. It feels really, really hard that I have to either ignore one population or the other. In order to teach. Well, it's also hard because the people at home at this point all have like all of their props like set up and all of their prop substitutions like ready to go. And in the studio, we're still not allowed to use props unless people bring their own. So there's difficulty just logistically there. But on Sunday, I taught part of a teacher training in person, not online, and it was so fucking wonderful. I cried a little bit on the way back because I was like, oh my God, one day I'll get to do this again. Like this, like there will come a point at which like I will return to just teaching the fucking human beings that are right in front of me in the room, or teaching the people online on the screen, but not not both. I don't love the both. I think I speculate that the hybrid would be fine for meditation.
That makes total sense.
But
yeah.
For asana, it's tough. And some of it's, you know, I say that with the caveat that like it's only been a few weeks. And not every class that I've gone to teach in person has actually had in-person humans in the room. So there's an aspect of this of just adapting that's still going on, but I would rather just see the people in their homes doing the things they're doing, or see the people in the room doing the things they're doing, and not split the difference.
Yeah.
And I reserve the right to change my mind about that. But that's another point where changing one's mind is really related to capitalism, not to good teaching.
Ryan, I think I have to cut our recording short.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's record again sooner.
Okay.
It's been, whoever is out there listening, if you're listening and you're having a hard time, you're not alone. I don't know if that helps to hear. I think I like hearing that. But this is an endurance uncertainty, you know?
Yeah.
And I think collectively we need deeply to rest and to cut each other and ourselves major slack. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Stay hydrated.
That's going to be the title of the episode.
Oh, God. Stay hydrated.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.